Causes. Pratigya. One can attain transcendental knowledge only by following the disciplic succession. The Pratigya of this chapter is expressed in the sentences from the beginning of Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 6. The perfection of the parampara system, or the path of disciplic succession, is further confirmed. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Brahmaji, the first-born living entity, received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord. And, now at the start of this chapter, the same knowledge was imparted to Narada, the next disciple. Narada asked to receive the knowledge, and Brahmaji imparted it upon being asked. Therefore, asking for transcendental knowledge from the right person and receiving it properly is the regulation of the disciplic succession. Right. So this aspect here of that one has to ask, in other words, one wants to know. Because if one doesn't want to know, one may not catch, or one may not be aware of what's happening. Right? So that's the principle. One who asks, then you can explain very nicely. One who doesn't ask, then you're careful how much you say. Right? That's the principle. Right? So, yeah. And then, so he's asked, he's receiving it from the right person, and he's receiving it properly, which means that in the proper attitude, one wants to know. And one wants to know because one wants to apply it. Mm. You understand? Mm. Just knowing it, nice. People are inquisitive. They like to know a lot of things. But to apply it, that's actually where something happens. Things don't happen unless you apply it. Right? There's no benefit gained if there's no application. Right? Does this make sense? Yes.
Which chapter?
Chapter 5 summarizes questions and answers. Question 34 is asked by Narada of Brahmaji. Question 34. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. The questions in verse 2 through 8 that follow Narada's first question are items or subset of questions of the above principle. Three of these sub-questions were reflected in Parikit's three questions to Sukadeva in the previous chapter. This is why Sukadeva referred Parikit to Narada's questions of ages past, as if to comment, what you're asking isn't new. Long ago your questions were asked by Narada of Brahma. For the purposes of this study guide, then, the questions of King Parikit at the end of the previous chapter collapse in this chapter into the leading question that Narada put before Brahma, footnote 16. Comparison of Narada's first question with Parikit's first of three questions in the previous chapters. Narada's sub-question 1. Please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? 2. Pritikit's question.
1.
I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. Right, so this whole principle of how it's created, these are very important questions, because sometimes we get into, oh, this is very technical, we just chant Hare Krishna, which is great if you can just do that. Right? The difficulty comes up is that when we're dealing with something that's not chanting Hare Krishna, then you're dealing with the phenomenal world, like it or not. You know? And so then it's a question of how is that functioning? What's going on? Why is that working? Why are we engaged? Why are we involved in something other than pure Krishna consciousness? Right? As the jiva is liberated. It's transcendental. Why are we engaged in something that's not transcendental? Right? That's a question. How would that happen? How is it possible it can happen? Because technically, the jiva is not attracted by dead matter. What are you going to do with dead matter? But it doesn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be stuck on an island out in the middle of the ocean with a rock. You know? Cool? Good? Okay. Talk to the rock. Hey, rock. How you doing today, rock? Right? In fact, there's three rocks. We got a party here. Right? Right? Okay. So the thing is how is that happening? It can only happen because Krishna's pervading everything. Everything's Krishna. That's the only reason. See, illusion is we think we're dealing with something else. We're always dealing with Brahman. There is no such thing as anything else other than Brahman. It's illusion to think everything's not Brahman. Right? The problem is we think this is the material world and then spiritual something else. No, everything is spiritual. It's just the quality of spiritual, right? The material world is inferior spiritual. That's why we name it that way, right? It's unconscious. So therefore, it's an inferior by nature. But it's Brahman, right? Because here when we're saying spiritual, we mean Brahman. We're talking about devotional, then we'll use the term transcendental. Okay? In this comparison. So now, the living entity is dealing with Brahman at all stages. And at all stages, then there's the masculine and feminine aspects of Brahman. In other words, Brahman is there as the masculine principle, and his energies is the feminine principle. Right? So that's pervading everything. Brahman is all-pervading. That means the qualities and the forms and means to appreciate those qualities are all-pervading. We deal with what we're dealing with properly, then we appreciate that quality. And by appreciating it, we get an experience. Right? We're doing something. We like doing it. Right? We're talking about what we're distracted from Krishna consciousness. We're not talking about directly chanting and serving. We're just talking about doing something that you like to do in the mundane plane. Yeah. Stack up rocks. Okay. So the point is now one is doing that. One's in contact with Krishna. One's doing the activity that puts you in contact with that quality of Krishna that you appreciate. And so therefore, that's the pleasure you're finding in that activity. The illusion is you think it's that material form that's giving you that taste. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like the blender's working. Is it because there's a wire? It's the copper. The copper is so great, it makes the blender work. Right? Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with the copper wire. It happens to be the conduit with which electricity is conducted. But it's not the wire. You don't put electricity in one end, it doesn't matter how much copper you have there. You understand? That's the point. The material world has zero for the living entity. But because Krishna as Brahman is pervading it, therefore, when we touch it in the proper way, we get the experience we're looking for. And then we think, this is nice. But the problem is because it's Brahman, here's the fun part, right? I mean, this is already, you know, bends the head around. But now here's where it gets fun. Is that you're experiencing it, but you're only experiencing it as existence. Because Brahman is only existence. Does that make sense? So the guy is jumping out of the airplane and experiencing the excitement from the adventure. But he's only existing in that quality of adventure. There's no rasa as such. There's no dynamic relationship. It's only existence. Yes. It's intransitive existence in adventure. That's why there's no satisfaction. And that's why as soon as you're not in touch with it, it's over. If I'm drinking water and I stop drinking water, there's no experience. But if I interact with somebody and then I walk away, I can still feel that interaction. Why? Because that's personal. So that's the meaning of impersonal. It's generic. It's just adventure. You happen to get it from jumping out of a plane. Another kid's on a skateboard. Someone else is on his bicycle. You know, someone else is playing a video game. You understand? These are just the different things. It's just like adventure can go through different things. Electricity can go through copper, silver, gold, you know, any other generally kind of metal. Not so good through wood. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, you know, your mom says, go clean your room. Not a lot of adventure. Right? So therefore, it's not the conduit. You don't taste it.
Can be adventure.
Yeah, it can be. That's an adventure. That's not adventure.
So, all right, when we look for someone to do something we like, we're actually looking for that personal.
We're looking for the personal, but the problem is in the material world, because it's not prema, it's still going to be impersonal. But it's closer. You understand? Because Krishna, anything that's closer is always what's recommended. That's why that it's based on relationship, it's based on the recommended activities. These are always preferred. Because it's closer to devotional service, where you're doing the activities recommended by the acharyas, and it's in connection with Krishna and the devotees as people. Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's pure devotional service. So, that's why even the smarta, we don't complain about the smarta that he's in following the Vedic rules. We complain that he thinks it's the rules that's perfection. We don't complain that he's a nice Brahmin. That's never a complaint. We make that mistake, of course. But that's not the thing. So that's good. Our people are personal. I remember once there was a discussion that I think it was Sridhar Maharaj. Then there had been this big argument came out between, I forget who it was, I think it was Ramachar and Bhagavan or something like that. They had a history. something. And they went to him and they were talking about this and this and this and that, and it's so bad and so this and it's like that. And he says, no, but it's actually, the point is you're people. That's why you're interacting. You know? So therefore, you know, there's something to work with. You know, and then in a letter to Prabhupada, one devotee was saying, the devotees are so impersonal. Prabhupada says, no, they're people. That's why it's like this. Their personality is different from yours, so because it's different, you say it's impersonal. But it's because they're a person that you can, and you're a person that you can perceive it. You know what I'm saying? So yes, that's the whole thing.
So connecting to the main topic is that the knowledge can only come through the disciplic
cessation. Can only come through the disciplic cessation, person to person. That's why it said you can't get it just from a book. But we read books. It's very important for us to read books. But we have to have made that connection to the books through people. Right?
So in active devotion of the 10 principles, the second one is to have a spiritual master and learn from him how to do devotional service. That would be the connection to have to distinguish that what is material from spiritual in your life.
Yes. That's why those first three are important. Because you're contacting a person who connects you with the Parampara. Now, what you're going to learn is all these things. Right? So in other words, the chapter is about the creation and all that. But what you're learning is the importance of hearing this from Parampara. Because if you don't hear it from Parampara, then it doesn't have that potency. That's why speculative knowledge is useless. right? If it's in connection with the parampara, it's useful. But if it's not, it's useless. Right. Yes.
In relation to the previous point, the Prabhupada says, no, it's not the person that goes that person, but so anyone who's connected to the person, Krishna consciousness is considered not the person.
No, everybody is a person, because all living entities are. The thing is that the living entity being liberated, being spiritual, they can only relate with spirit. That means the only thing the living entity in the material world is relating to is Brahman. But the illusion is we think it's the dead matter that is giving us all this variety of experiences. You understand? But it doesn't become dynamic, you know, until you get to Bhagavan. So that's why we don't consider the Brahman platform something important or special. That's why we talk about that Brahmananda is not something special. Because basically what you're doing is knowing that you're dealing with Brahman, that's Brahmananda. Not dealing, knowing you're dealing with Brahman, that's material happiness. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when we have a chapter called The Cause of All Causes, cause actually means spirit.
Yes. And what the causes are also spirit.
Yeah.
Like that, everything is spirit. Everything's Brahman. But the problem is because we don't identify it that way, therefore it's given the nomenclature material world. Right? But there's a difference. This aspect of Brahman is inferior to the internal potency Brahman. Right? And we're subservient to one or the other. Yeah. And both of those are subservient to the Supreme Brahman of Krishna. You understand? So the whole point is material existence means Brahman. And the problem is then we think that, no, I'm getting something out of the matter here, but we're not. We can't. You have something? Yeah.
When we say that it's in person, and then we have interactions with people, devotees, the interaction itself is not impersonal.
No.
But why are we getting from this still impersonal?
It depends upon what you're looking at it. In other words, if you're looking at the transcendental aspect connecting with Krishna, then you're actually dealing you're getting the personal result. If you're not, you're getting the impersonal result. But understand, the impersonal is Krishna still. Right? Because there's no such thing as the Mayavadi concept of impersonal. It's just a lie. It's an illusion as much as you can enjoy the material world. It's just as much an illusion. It's just a more intellectual illusion. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, it's just like, let's say the kids are out in the backyard, right? And they got their sticks and their swords and their kings and their, you know, whatever it is, and they're having their battles and all that. And people look out the back window and laugh at the kids, right? That. And then, you know, they get their call from their friend that, you know, don't forget, you know, 10 o'clock, you know, we're meeting down at the place where you have the, you know, the paintball fighting wars, you know, like that. And somehow or another, that's very adult. It's just another stupid game. It's just more sophisticated. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, the material world, what we're meaning here is that you're dealing with Brahman, and so even though you're having interaction, you're interacting with Brahman, but the only benefit you're getting from it is the experience that's there, but that experience is not actually generating, how you say, love. Maybe attachment, but it's still all within existence, because remember, Shankarshan includes the knowledge of all the other areas. So you can touch on these other areas through existence.
You can.
You know what I'm saying? Because in Shankarshan, you're also discussing what's the use of something, so that's prayojana. But it's not that you have it. You know, it's just like you can sit together and say, yeah, we can do this, we can do that, and this can do this and that, we'll get this and that, and everybody's very happy. Do we have anything? No. That's the point. So we're taking that as reality. That's why Niti says, if you have a meeting, and you come up with a conclusion and you're happy that now we've got the result, you're a fool. Because you don't. You've only discussed it. So that's the material world. We discuss it. We go through it. We even engage in it. But all we're getting is the experience of it, of the concept of it. But you're not actually dealing with anything real. You're dealing with reflection in the mirror. It's not real. Does that make sense? So, but it's based on the eternal activities. So what we're looking for is real, but we don't know where to look for it. Does that make sense? So in other words, connecting it to Krishna, that's why it's the cause of all cause. You connect to Him, then you get the real benefit. If you only connect to some immediate thing, then it's a problem, or it's cause. Because you can get that, the demigods, you have all these metaphysical and all these different things, the subtle. But the real thing is the transcendental. Does that make sense? So, in other words, this second canto basically dismantles our material concept of what we think material actually is and its benefits. Then after that, then we rebuild it with the devotional interactions with all the devotees. Right? Because we'll see, and, you know, immediately after all these discussions, even in these discussions, it's people. But after that, then we get into the stories. Yes?
I understand the books are passive, but Srila Prabhupada once said, by studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you are associating with Srila Goswami, and by following the instructions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you're serving the lotus feet.
Yes.
Of Srila Goswami. So my experience over the years is, in the Prabhupada made it clear that Vani is more important than the Vapu.
Yes.
So my experience has been that devotees that have a deep connection with the Vani have the more substantial relationship
yes.
with the Guru.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Okay.
Is here is that the difficulty we have in these kind of discussions is words have their limitation. Because the problem is words carry the potency of their intent, or in this case, spiritual, the chit potency. But the problem is we also have our concepts of what the words are meaning. And so if you have standard concepts, it works really good. That's why the Vedic, the Sanskrit and these old languages work really well, because there's only 2,000 words. There are not more than 2,000 words in Sanskrit. Yeah, that's all there is. Like from 2,000 by grammar, you create unlimited words. In fact, we only deal with 1,200. And then from that, you create everything. So when you have these, you know, the full library edition of the Oxford Dictionary, 16 volumes each, you know, a few thousand pages each one, all you're doing is giving the huge variety, millions of varieties of 2,000 words. So the advantage is therefore the definitions are much clearer in Sanskrit. When you get into something that's not based on grammar, then it becomes as difficult. So that's the thing is that, but even then, still, we see the scholars. Like you have 6 different schools, so that's hermeneutics, how they interpret the word. So certain words, they have a common ground, but then what they're going to do with them. So there's always that element of the individual understanding. So in here, what we're saying is that I'm only going to read the books. I'm not going to associate with devotees. I don't have to worry about spiritual master and all that. And I will get all perfection. That's what it means by, it's not just by reading the books. Right? That's what's meant. So we see here, is this question's been asked and is referred to the same question by Narada the Brahmaji to establish the point of Parampara. Because if we're going to deal with Vedic knowledge, you have to hear it in Parampara. Even in other knowledge, you want to do well in the university, you have to accept the knowledge coming in the line from you know, your professor who's based on the chair, who's been, you know, seeing that it's from the dean, it's by the motivate the university, its connection with other universities, like that. So it has that element, that important element is there. So you are directly associating, but what makes that connection is that it's being heard from the spiritual master. Like that. So that's why somebody gets a book, just finds it. You know, it's just like how many devotees are there, practicing devotees, who found the Gita in a garbage can. Right? So they didn't contact any devotees, but they read the book, and they became inspired, because they are directly associating with Prabhupada and with Krishna and Arjuna, like this. But at the same time, as the process requires personal interaction and association, at least at some point. Because if that's not there, then one won't appreciate fully the significance of devotional service, which means Krishna and the devotees. That's why then Parampara is brought out so strongly. It's because of the personal connection. I mean, of course, it has just the logic that there's a connection that has to be there. But the point is that book, that Gita worked because it's Gita as it is. If he had found a different Gita in the garbage can, he would not be a devotee. But he found Prabhupada's Gita in the garbage can, that's why he's a devotee. Does that make sense? So what you're saying is correct. But we have to be careful, is don't get caught up in the words of it. It's because it can be taken both ways. Some will say, oh, it's not by reading the books, so therefore they don't bother with reading the books. You know, so you have to avoid that, because the point is the process is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees. So, yes.
Actually, there was a rock in Vrindavan where Prabhupada said, you can read all of my books, but you'll have to come to me to understand them.
Yes, yes. Because the thing is it's not just reading the books, it's by hearing from him, and it's even in the books. You hear it in one place, you think you have an understanding, then you're reading a different purport. Has a very different meaning, seemingly. So then I noticed a contemporary kind of thing is you just pick the ones you like and drop the other ones you like, you know, which is in practice in the Vedic philosophies, you know, means in other words the first four, right? So it means Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Shankya, and Patanjali. They do that. They pick the ones that agree with them, and they just ignore the ones that don't. It's not that they reject them, they just don't deal with them. Like that. But Vedanta deals with all of them. So then the thing is, well, this says this, that says that, it seems contradictory. What's the common point? In other words, my vision of it is not broad enough to be able to understand these two aspects. So we have to broaden it till it does. Then one is learning from Prabhupada what Prabhupada's saying.
Apparent contradictions.
Yeah, there is never any contradictions. There's no such thing. We create the contradictions. Like that. That's why Prabhupada uses that term, apparent. Because they're not there. Or so-called, somebody says so-called. They're not there. So that's the thing, is to somehow or another appreciate that the reason of doing this and seeing it from different angles is to broaden the vision. That's why it said broad-minded is the real thing. Liberal by being... not so much worrying about rules, that's not actual real liberalness. Broad-minded, that's liberal. Because you can accommodate the individual's position, though it may not be ideal, but you can connect it to a position that is ideal and bring them together. Right? Liberal means it's not ideal, but it's okay, so it just stays like that. There's no improvement. There's never improvement. Right? That's the thing. You don't find improvement. That's why it said, no, the liberal, you know, it's here, it's just going on like this, we want to change, we want this, we want that. You vote for them, they get into position, then they do all the things, nothing happens. Why? Because it's all it's doing is authorizing something that's not standard. And then no one's satisfied. So then what's the next thing? So many years of that, gun back to the conservative. Like that. And then it gets boring, so then liberal. So, you know, it's just back and forth. Both, yeah.
it's a common mistake with some of the devotees to take one thing that Prabhupada said and make it everything.
Yeah, but that one thing is connected to everything, but you have to know how to connect it. That's why you have to learn from Prabhupada how to connect it.
But the sum total of the teachings should be considered.
Yes, but any one point contains all the rest of it. But you have to know how it connects. That's why you have to make sure it's not just about this one thing. You can do that, but then you risk your position. Where will you position yourself if it's all about that one thing? Because in Braj, it's not all about... It is all about one thing, it's just Krishna. It's just pleasing Krishna. So it's not about the other forms in that. In other words, if you're dealing with one form only, then you stick yourself in one place. But if you're dealing, if you can appreciate the whole thing and it's not in any way contradictory, then dealing with the whole thing means then you're dealing with Braja Krishna. Because Krishna is the cause of all causes. And his Srup Shakti, Radharani, is the supreme, you know, potency. And so all the different things that are contradictory are his energies. So if you don't see the contradiction, then you're dealing with one energy. And that one energy is Radharani. But if you can only handle part of that energy, then you're going to be dealing with Lakshmi. Because she only represents a particular aspect of it. Then less contradiction. There's very minimal contradiction in Lakshmi. That's why it works very easy, very clear, very simple, very straightforward. But Braj means you have to be able to appreciate Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Then it works really well. So it's like you said, you be very careful not to take something and get too distracted by it. But if it's connected to Krishna, then it's progressive.
One has the correct mood.
Yeah, I mean, if the intent is right, then it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you know, the brahmacharis get all fired up about something, then great, as long as their point is to please Krishna and Prabhupada. Then it moves forward, and then they mature, and then they're not so, you know, insane about, you know, whatever they're doing, you know, like that.
Yeah. Yes. Without having always a shiksha guru, there is always a risk of making mistake.
Yes, so that's as was pointing out, is that these first three establish the Vartma Pradarshak, the Siksha, and the Diksha Gurus. And then that you're hearing from the Guru and you're approaching the previous Acharyas through the Guru. So all the different aspects of Siksha are the knowledge is being discussed. So that's always there. Yes. Like that. Now, whether they're present or not, whether they're living or not, it's another thing, but they have to be there. That connection has to be there. Because for Krishna, it's about connection. What's your connection? Yes. Means everything's Him, so you're connected anyway. But that's tattva. Mm-hmm. So the point is you're getting that experience in tattva, but what about in rasa? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that's only going to happen when you connect to Him as a person through people. Like that. It means the means and the end are connected. Just like the name is the means, the name is the end. Right? So therefore, they work together, they're connected. This idea that the end justifies the means, but that means they're not connected.
Yes.
Otherwise, why use the term? It would be obvious. You know, I have a can and I have a candle. You know, there's some connection there. You know, and I have a pot, right? You know, not that I have a can opener, and a bag, right? Open the can, stick the can in the bag, you know.
Go for a walk.
Yeah, no. There's a connection. And we only make that because there's not one, and then we have all these trite terms to try to make it sound like we're very intellectual. But actually, they're not.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj made a very nice point recently. Oh. He just said that this science is so subtle, that it's the most subtle. So, of course, you need to teach yourself, do it yourself. You can't wait to take a book. Even for a normal science of medicine, we recognize we need the teachers, we can't do it ourselves. What about the science which is dealing with the level that you're presenting.
Yes. Well, it's like your modern academy is basically 1,000 years old, like that. It's even not quite, you know, it's only 900 really, but it's based on going back a little farther. But basically, if you want a benefit, you can get in, you know, so many years, the benefit of 1,000 years, right? But you have to have teachers to take you through it. But now, you're looking at knowledge that's eternal. So definitely you're going to need a teacher. Right? It's a little older. It's better around a little longer. Okay. Yes?
The Shruti statement of Acharyavan Purushaveda appears to be our key hermeneutic principle. Because even if one doesn't study the Vedas, if he's controlled by the Acharyas, he'll understand the purport of the Vedas.
Yeah. So that's why you have the element that the brahmachari is studying, but at the same time the brahmachari is just doing what he's supposed to do. Because then he's engaged in the proper activities, at the same time he's learning why he's engaged in those activities. Because the point is, it's technically not about studying. We study just because we have so many ideas that are not actually important. That's why we study. Right? At the same time, we study because it's about Krishna, and so we like to hear about Krishna. So it's always hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna. Mother Jashoda has no problem always talking about Krishna and remembering Krishna. She's got plenty to talk about. The gopis, the cowherd boys, right? Yeah. Everybody has plenty to talk about. So we don't. It doesn't come spontaneously, so therefore Shastra is there. And so for a certain amount of the day, we're hearing about Krishna. Right? And for a certain amount of the day, we're chanting. For a certain amount of the day, with the deity worship, we're doing worship. You know, actually rendering service. Like that. So the idea is that we're exposed to these things that the residents of the spiritual world do naturally. Like that. That's why you don't see the gopis sitting down and studying. Because they're already doing why you're, you know, what's the point of studying. But when they come here, we see they're great scholars. Like that. So that's the, you know, therefore we don't, you know, concur with the sahajiyas that we don't need to study. We don't need all these rules. No, you do. You need all the rules. You need the form. Because the point is how do you attain the masculine principle without the feminine? So that understanding of Krishna comes through the activities following the rules based on the shastra. Right, because the feminine is the form and the action, then you get the quality. So therefore, technically, sahajiyas are impersonalist. Just they're sentimental impersonalists, while impersonalists are non-sentimental impersonalists. So that's the. Yes.
Sometimes we use the term sahaja as an umbrella term for the upper sampradayas.
Yeah.
Can we technically say that anything that's not straight up Vedanta is sahaja?
You could on one level, but the thing is it has that element, like say smartas, then, yeah, I mean you can take it that their sentiment is wrong and it's simple, right? You know, it's just that, you know, it's all, there's no form ultimately. So you can say it's as simplistic, so, but generally, sahaja, you bring out, in this case, the element of that they are just going to practice some aspects of bhakti that they like to do.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hear about sahaja sitting down alone and chanting japa much.
No.
You know, it's got to be kirtan, where you can see them, you know, in their ecstasies and rolling on the ground and... You understand? You don't hear much about them doing sadhana on their own, unless that's their trip.
Yeah. We see the nyayas we were talking about before, they just ignore certain parts because they don't like to engage in that, or that doesn't it, go with their
it
condition.
Just doesn't fit, so you just don't notice it. You know, it's just like there's a whole living room full of stuff. What does the kid notice?
Toys.
Yeah, the toys or the remote.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't know the vase. He couldn't care less. You know, like that. So it just doesn't.
It doesn't register.
So it's not necessarily an intended fault, but it is a fault. So that's what we were saying before, is that we take only those verses that support, we can't take the other ones, because the point, there is no opposing. There is no opposing Vedic element to Vedanta. There isn't. You know, the Mayavadis can come up with it, but they just support our thoughts. You just have to, it's by hermeneutics how you understand. So it's not word juggling, that they have to do. Right? Because they're trying to take one thing and make it everything. And it's not. It's an aspect of everything. It's connected to everything. But you have to know how it works as everything.
No, yes. Maharaj, the reason we do that is for attachment, for a specific point.
Generally, it's our conditioning will resonate with the particular thing. So therefore, we catch that. But the problem is then with time, things adjust. And then if that's become our identity, so our identity has to be, I'm serving the Krishna. Where it becomes, where we say like a trip, is it's an identity rather than an aspect of service. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. That's where the problem comes up. Because then if it's just an aspect of the service, then there can be so many more things to something. You know, it's just like we want to do an activity. One could, if one analyzes it, all the different, let's say, elements of a kitchen, many of them are very contradictory to each other. Right? But they all work together. But if you identify with one aspect of it, you don't really relate to something else. Right? It's just like the pot washer. What's he doing?
Washing pots.
But what's his point? Why is he washing a pot? Make it clean. What is the cook doing to the pots? He's making them dirty. Now that's a serious contradiction. Right? So now when it's just like, let's say there's the cook who comes in, uses one or two pots, you know, like that, cooks his little thing and goes. Okay, then there's the guy who comes in, uses everything in the kitchen. Okay, now the pot washer, how does he feel when between these two devotees coming into the kitchen?
He likes them.
Yeah, the first one goes, oh, okay, great. The second, oh, no. So therefore, he identifies with it. Therefore, there's a problem. But it's all part of the service. So that's what we're meaning, is that one focuses on one aspect. That's natural. That's the individuality of the living entity. You know, whether it's coming from his eternal nature or from his conditioned nature, but individuality is there. That's a given. But to make it an identity, that's where the problem comes. Because then you can't, one, it becomes a disturbance because you can't relate to someone else's, you know, so-called identity. And then the second thing is, as you mature, then that, what do you do? Now what's your identity? Because that becomes, it's not as prominent anymore. As an identity, it loses its position. Now how do you identify? Mm-hmm. So to avoid that kind of transition, you don't identify. Okay. Comparison of Narada's second sub-question of Parikit's second of three questions in the previous chapter. Narada's sub-question 2. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? Under whom are you working? Right? Because something can't function unless the environment's created for it. Right? Without Sankarshan, you can't have Vasudev. Right? Because if there is an environment, there is a situation which is going. So a protected environment, then something develops. Right? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? In essence, Narada wants to know whether Brahma is independent and self-sufficient in knowledge, protection, work, position, and creative energy, or whether Brahma merely assesses another or others. Parikit's question 2. Kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining and again winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting spirit of a player. Srimad Bhagavatam 247. Here too, the essence of query is about the relationship of the one creator to others involved in creation, namely his expansions of who Brahma is one as the Lord's Rajoguna avatar. So in other words, you're looking at it from Brahma's position and you're looking at it from Krishna's position. So this is vichar. Right? Looking at the same thing from two different positions. But we you know, without this comparison being made, we'll think it's a whole different set of questions. But actually, they're the same questions. So Sukadev, understanding this, he's put them together. Right? He's seen that they're together. That's what goes on throughout this, is a question will be asked, then a story will be given where those questions is asked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's where we get, you know, Uddhava and Maitreya and Vidura and all these different questions are going on. You know, the Kumaras or the Maharaj Nimi, yes. You know, 11th canto. These are all, he's asked a question, Parikit Maharaj, to Sukadeva, and then he refers it to a story where this was asked. Mm-hmm. Right? So then that's always a very nice. It's, you can see as therefore the modern element in law of precedent or referring to these things is very standard, very authorized method of going about it. You refer whatever case you're dealing with now to a previous case. That's just the etiquette. So here we see as they do the same thing. You always refer it to something before. Right? And then that's the advantage of Purana is it has all these unlimited stories, so that there's always a story you can connect it to, and then you can see the practical application. Right? Comparison of Narada's third sub question with Parikit's third of three questions in the previous chapter. Narada's sub question 3. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities in perfect discipline. Although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation, because if he's self-sufficient, why would he have to do austerity? Unless he's doing it for fun. You know, like Narayan Rishi, it's just fun. You know, it's pastime. So that's what he said before. Is this? You know, or is it coming from somewhere else? And then that's verse 7. Then Parikit Maharaj's question 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Whether he alone acts with the modes of the material nature or simultaneously expands in many forms. Right? So he does it through his, means he himself just through the modes of nature makes it happen, or he expands as all his forms and then in this way he's making it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, either way. Or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature. Right? So he's dealing with the modes, or he's expanding as the lords of the modes. Srimad Bhagavatam 249. As explained in the note in this verse, in the previous chapter study, in fact, this is a question about how the Lord, from the supreme position of his oneness without a second, yet acts through many expansions and incarnations. Right? This is the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. So as you can see, is there is only one philosophy. Technically, Vishishta Dvaita, Vishuddha Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, and Advaita, they're all basically, you could say, sub-branches of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Right?
Yes.
Because otherwise, how do you explain all these things together? Brahma is the Lord's incarnation as Rajagun avatar. So, just as Narad wonders about the Supreme Being above Brahma, similarly, Parikit wonders about powerful subordinates of the Lord below him. So he's going, okay, Brahma, who's above him? And he's going, well, the Supreme Lord, who's below him? You understand? So it's the same question, just from two different angles. That's the vichar. So now it's being nicely answered, like that. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. 17. as it was in the study guide for chapter 3 of this canto, the Adhyaya Prakashika for chapter 5 is less the chapter at a glance and more an outline of the chapter's logical structure. A structure that very well may be hidden from the reader as gets absorbed in detailed information culled from the verses as presented in the Shloka Anusharana.
self-realization of the writer. It's already feeling.
Who am I?
Because before you could say she, he.
Yes.
But now she, he means something.
Ah.
Yeah, so you don't want to say that. So then, generally you would say one.
Yes.
And that covers everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
One is nirvishesha, and this is like the shunyavada.
Yeah. Yes. In the fifth chapter, Brahma explains the creation of elements to Narada and the universal form with the planets as his various limbs. Right? Because it means that is the Lord. The material is the Lord. That's the imagination. That's where you're taking what I see here and see it. That's the Lord's feet. But the potence, it means the feet carrier, the feet, you know, or like the bones, so what holds everything is the strength. So that's there, but that potency of mountains is coming from Krishna. But to put it together as his body in that way, that you're starting with the mountain, rather than it's his potency of his bones is what makes the mountain strong. That's where the imaginative element is. That's where the element that will say that it's imagination. But the point is the universal form, the potencies of it, how they've come, how they connect, that's real. You understand? Because the form of the Lord is transcendental. But his potencies pervade everything.
So, Maharaj, in the universal form, when we say the bones, we're referring to the potency that the bones carry.
So that our bones carry. So we're taking bones are hard and mountains are hard, so you put them together. But it's true, because that's where the potency is coming from. But at the same time, to take the mountains as those are the bones of the Lord, then that's where the imaginary aspect is being applied. Right? But there's a connection. That's why there's purification and upliftment. So you get used to the concept that the Lord can have form. Then you go from that impersonal up to the Paramatma. That therefore he's there, he's controlling it and everything. Then you go from there to the personal, that he is Bhagavan. He is then, you know, having pastimes with his devotees. So it's just stepping stones to get to. That makes sense. So that's the thing. You're dealing with something that's real, but in a way that's not its best understanding. But it works as the beginning. Is that makes sense? Yeah.
Well, it appears there's an element of ascending process there.
Because you're dealing with those who are dealing with ascending. That's why we see Prabhupada, and when he's presenting his purports, he's presenting it based on logic. And that's just logic of means nyaya, just of words. He very rarely uses nyaya of grammar, because it doesn't mean anything to anybody in English practically. You know, it's not that he necessarily gives lots of just connections to the Shastric things. He'll always back it up by Shastra. But he just logically presents it because people are used to that. At best, that's on a good day. You know. So then it connects them to the idea. So you catch them through their appreciation of the ascending process. Like that. But what you're giving them is still through the descending process. That's the things we never go away from our process. When we're preaching, we never leave our process. We just present it so that the audience can appreciate it. You never have to. You just don't have to. Like that's the thing. There's an idea I have to. No, you never have to. You just have to become more knowledgeable so you can understand the broader range so you can present it. That's all. Yes.
In that book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, it's mentioned that Bhaktisiddhanta would quickly adjust if there was this bunch of Indologies, he would apply logic. There were Vedantis, he would go to Shastra. He could very swiftly.
Yes, like that. Because it's just, you're using the system, but when he's dealing with He's using logic. He's still using it according to the form the logic gives. He's not using, in other words, he'll be basing it on Siddhanta, while the Indologist will be using Jalpa and all these other, you know, Chala and all these other methods to establish their point. Because all they want to do is win. They're not interested in Siddhanta. So, but you're using the same thing. It's just whether they're using it nicely or not. Is that yeah? Okay. In reply to Maharaj Parikit, Sukadev Goswami narrates how Narad Muni humbly approached Brahmadev, offering his obeisances to the firstborn, Purvaja, among embodied beings who is verily Narada's father and spiritual preceptor. All right, so that's why he puts it out. He humbly approached. Mm-hmm. Narad Muni is in the spiritual body. Mm-hmm. Right? He's born from Brahma. Like that. So, means, and so, it's, but he's still humble. That's the system. It's just how it works. At the lotus feet of his Gurudev, Narada's wish is for personal instruction in Atma-tattva, the truth of the individual soul and the supersoul. In pursuit of this, he asked Brahma about the cosmic manifestation, its symptoms, its fundament, how it is created, etc. Right? So symptoms is what we're going to see. The fundament is what's behind that. Right? In the ascending process, they take the fundaments as basic, but not, they don't see the importance of it. It's reversed. The fundaments are actually the most important elements. Because something won't act, a body of knowledge will not act outside of its fundaments. Right? The constant truths are the fundaments. Right? But because the fundaments are so simple, they're taken as on the bottom. It's kidding stuff. No, it's actually the advanced stuff. That's the difference. We will present the advanced stuff, you know, in the beginning. But from that, we give it in the simple, but we're trying to give that advanced perspective. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're discussing it here, right? This is what is, you know, being discussed, you know, in a very, how you say, in the Gita. But we've been always looking at it from here. But then when we get, this will be the you could say, the most technical discussion will be 11th canto. Like you see, when the acharyas would get technical, they would quote 11th canto.
Yes.
So that's where it's the most technical. So all this is, it's all one thing, but it's just the same thing getting more and more deep and more broad. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
I got a question. Why is Krishna saying the most confidential knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about three modes of the material nature? Why is that most confidential knowledge? Like he goes, I will tell you now, more confidential when it comes to 18, to the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and saying that this is the most confidential knowledge, and then he speaks about three modes of the material nature.
Because so, you're seeing how everything functions by the modes. In other words, Krishna controls the whole creation through the modes of nature. So you see how that works. But it's not just as earlier that this mode does this, that mode does that. It's that connection behind it to Krishna and how everything's connected to Krishna, how Krishna pervades everything in this form. So he pervades through his energies. It means Brahman is pervading everything, but Brahman has his energies. Brahman is his energies. You know what I'm saying? Brahman, being the masculine form, has energies. So therefore, then you're going to have, as he mentioned here, the symptom. The fundament is the masculine, the symptom is the feminine. So that's pervading everything. So then you can see that pervading everything. So it's the same thing, but more confidential. So you're taking it deeper and deeper and deeper. Is that okay? Is that right? Okay. Moving on his inquiry, Narada directs questions to the person of Brahma himself, His father's austerity suggests to Narada that Brahma draws his knowledge and power from a creator superior to himself. Brahma replies that his respectable position as a powerful authority is meaningful only because he is able to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. Unless one is similarly aware of the Lord, he is sure to be illusioned. For example, by wrongly supposing Brahma, the demigod of secondary creation, Visarga, to be the ultimate creator. So he can see into the prowess of the Lord means you can't see the whole thing. It's not that he sees the prowess of the Lord. He can see into it. Because it's unlimited. So he can, from his position, see something, but he's connecting into that. Right? Then it's just like one may say, no, but one wants to see the whole thing, but you don't want to see the whole thing. Someone's in Vrindavan, they just want to see Vrindavan. You don't want to see everything. It's not that you look over the horizon and then you see Mathura and Dwarka. No, you just want to see Braj.
Isn't that sort of the principle of revelation across the board? What you get is what you get.
Yeah, but the point is it's enough. And there's nothing short, and because of the personal aspect, it works because the Lord is a person, deals with you as a person, and so then you have something in common. It's not a matter of how. It's just like, let's say you have, you know, how you say? Oh, like Prabhupada gives the example of, I think it was Mr. Bosch. Right, so he runs the company. It's a big company, but you know sometimes when he want to think, he'd go out for a drive in his car, and he would talk to the chauffeur. You know, because he'll be a more older gentleman, he'll have practical experience in the world. But you know, the position of the two is vastly different. But they can have a relationship. So that's the point, is us as a person, Krishna as a person, we can have a relationship, even though he's unlimited and we're limited. So that's the thing. So we don't need to understand unlimited because we're limited. Right? It's not going to happen. Right? But we can see into it. We can see into the prowess. We can get an appreciation of it. Right? We can touch on the unlimited.
Right, by doing that, we feel fully satisfied.
We're fully satisfied. Yeah, it's just like you have to eat all the food. You know, it's just like we cook for a big festival for thousands of devotees. Do you have to eat all of it to be satisfied? You just have to eat how much you need. That's the thing, and that's just what we cook here. What about all our other temples? We got 80 temples here, right? Gaur Purnima. You imagine how much prasad's there? You know, and then you have the whole world, right? You know, and fortunately, you know, it's a, you know, time zone, so there are a couple of 24 hours to deal with it. Right? You know, you didn't have to eat it all at once. Right? Just looking at the possibilities.
I'm relishing.
Yes.
Sarga and
Visarga? Sarga is, what is the difference? Sarga is Krishna's creation. It means, in other words, when he glances at material energy, it separates into the 24 elements, and then you create all the connections between the unlimited qualities of Krishna and the various forms and activities that you can experience. That's the primary creation. The secondary creation, Visarga, is when Brahma puts together the material elements so that you manifest through material energy the forms that you can do the activities that manifest that quality. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is it's the primary creation that makes everything work. But we can appreciate it through the secondary. But if we think it's the secondary that's doing it, that's illusion. It's the primary that's doing it.
Tomorrow, yes. Sarga, we have both Pradhan and Mahat, right? And then Brahma starts from Mahat.
Yes. Yes. But no, Brahma is after Mahat.
After Mahat.
Yeah, after because after after Mahat, then you have that manifestation of or expansion of the creation. That then is, Viraj, but there was another.
Vairaja.
So then, Vairaja, then that's the term used there. Is that, then that means that is, that whole thing is then placed in the lotus. So that's actually the primeval Brahma. Then from that lotus is born this Brahma. And then he, then through the using the elements, makes what's there. You know, probably gives the example of the blueprints in the building. But the building is only a manifestation of the blueprints. Like that. But the building already existed as a concept. Mm. Right? So that means that creation already exists as a concept in the primary. Then it's manifest through Brahma in the secondary. Does that work? So that Visarga also is called secondary creation. Sometimes it's called recreation because the secondary creation is constantly being destroyed and recreated. Right? You know, it means after the Indras, you know, at the change, you know, 14 times in a day, at the change of the Manvantaras, at the end of his day, at the end of his life. So it's constantly being recreated. Plus, it's just a recreation of what was before. But the primary creation, that's always the same. It's not different. So there's only one primary creation, though you see it in the different places. You see into it in the different places. So he's able to see into that, but everyone has. And that's a reflection of the spiritual. Does that work? Brahma reveals that the source of his creative power is the effulgence that shines forth from the Lord's spiritual form. Right. So here, his Prabhupada mentions this cosmic manifestation is actually created from Brahman, because that's what Brahma's doing. He's using Brahman. That's pervading everything, and just adding material elements to it. You know, it's like what do you say? You know, color by number. Does that make sense? You know, like you have these kids' things, and you have this whole painting, but it has all numbers, and it says which color to use, and you paint it in, and do it, and all that, you know. So it's already there. It's like, you know, there's an arm there, so he just has to take the elements and put it together so there's an arm.
It's like a Lego thing?
Yeah.
IKEA furniture.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. I guess therefore the Swedish has such a prominence in the modern, in the mundane concept. Is the effulgence shines forth from the Lord's spiritual form. So that's the qualities. Right? It's Brahman, it's transcendence, but it has the qualities. Right? So that's where the two go together. So the masculine and the feminine principle are there. Before that form, the power of illusion is ashamed of her service to the Lord, which is to bewilder the foolish souls who think in nonsensical terms of it is I and it is mine. Right? Because the I is your identity, mine is that enjoying principle. So that creates your sambandha and prayojana. And then when sambandha and prayojana is created, then there's avideya follows. Right? If you have an identity, you have a desire, you have a goal, you will act. So all I have to do is say it, I and mine. If I is I'm servant of Krishna, mine is Krishna, you know, his pleasure, then the abhideya is devotional service. Is I am this body, and mine is whatever's connected, is mine is for my enjoyment, then the activity will be mundane. So you don't have to mention the activity. Does that make sense? Like that. Yes.
It says here, before that form. Which form? This sentence starts with that.
Yeah, before that form means you have the universal form. Because the universal form technically in one sense is Brahman.
It's
Brahman. Because the primary Brahman, yes. Like that. That's why in the Vedic Sanskrit, then Brahman, Brahma, and the jiva, even though it's the same word, you know, as Brahman, it's the swaras that you can tell the difference between them, like that. So that it makes it very exact, you know, because otherwise here you have to get the context. There, of course, where it's placed creates the grammar so that it does that, so the context is there, but it makes it easier so you can tell the difference.
In at the end of the last sentence, it said the Lord's spiritual form, and then it's saying before that form.
Okay, before that form means the Lord's spiritual form. The power of illusion is shamed of her service to the Lord, which is to bewilder the foolish souls who think in nonsensical terms of it is I and it is mine. Maya never takes precedence over Krishna's control. Yet, in their different ways, atheistic modern scientists, the Shakyas, who worship the female forms of material nature, and the Mayavadi philosophers, all act as agents of Maya in this world because they propagate the same wrong conclusion. She is the cause of all causes. Right, so this is the trick that is being applied, is that they take it that the Shakti is what's the ultimate. Yes. Because then it's, I can do whatever I want with the form, because the Shakti is important. But no, the Shakti is subservient to the quality that it is connected to. Does that make sense? Right? If we're taking it that Krishna being the quality, then there's going to be forms and activities that will give appreciation of that quality. That means that those forms and activities are connected to that quality specifically. Now, you're trying to use them separately from that, that's an illusion. Right? Does that make sense? So if you say, one, they don't exist, or I can do whatever I want, or I will follow the rules, but the results are mine. Mm-hmm. All these things, these are all tricks of illusion. Mm-hmm. So one has to be very careful to not become a...
agent.
Yeah, an agent. Of Maya here.
Secret.
Yes. Double agents. Those are the worst, right? Double agents. Yes.
Can we say that Maya does not exist in Sarga?
No, she's always there because Sarga is that the elements also have been separated. So then she's also there. The point is she is the inferior energy, but she is a devotee of the Lord. Right? But she's the one who then deals with the illusory aspect that controls the living entities that deal with her inferior energy. Means her as inferior energy. Right? Because we have to remember is that this aspect is still part of the greater Sarup Shakti. The Sarup Shakti means the internal, the external, and the jivas. Right? So it's one person. When the jiva sees her in connection with Krishna, then the manifestation of that interaction is through the internal potency. If you don't see her like that, then the manifestation is through the external potency. Because it's not that it's I am trying to enjoy material energy technically, but no, we're trying to enjoy Krishna's energy. When you give up the enjoying spirit, you're not dealing with the external yogamaya, mahamaya anymore, you're dealing with yogamaya. Though the manifestation is still through external energy instead of internal energy. Does that make sense? Right? So in other words, there's what the substance is made of, internal and external. Then there's the control of that, yogamaya and mahamaya. Right? So when we see energy connected to Krishna for his enjoyment, then we will work with Yogamaya through the manifestation of the spiritual energy. If we don't, then we will work with Mahamaya through the manifestation of the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's how it works. It's not that, oh, I don't try to enjoy spiritual, I only try to enjoy material. No, we just try to enjoy Krishna's energy. But because of rules and regulation, the philosophy, and that, then we're careful about those things in connection with the spiritual. We're more careful.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah?
Or it's just like, I can't remember what her name was in this pastime, but it's all connected with Narad Muni and all that. Means he had gotten some prasad, and he was dancing in ecstasy, and Shiva saw this, and he said, "What's going on here?" Ah, okay, Bimala. She comes out as Bimala. Is that? Then he saw and says, "Why are you dancing in ecstasy? What happened? You know, the Lord's here." I said, "We know what's happening." He says, "No, I got some prasad." Says, "Really? Can I have some?" So he just had a little left. He gave it to Shiva, you know. And then he's dancing in ecstasy. Then Shiva's wife comes. And what's going on here? Now, you know, these two brothers are dancing in ecstasy. What's happening? So he said to Mahabhashat, "So like that." So they find just the littlest, smallest little something like that, you know. So it's about getting the prasad. It's not about which prasad. You understand? So when we're looking at it, no, I only want this, I don't want that, then that's the mix, the two element aspects are there. Right? So we're connecting to Krishna, but at the same time we want to enjoy his energies. You know, that's the form the prasad has, the taste, you know, like that. So it's rather than just see it as Krishna, and that whatever it is, it's nice. You understand? So you get that slight mix. You understand? Subtle. That's what we're saying. The point is it's subtle. That's why we get down to such hair splitting things. Because that's what we're doing constantly. You know, we can say, "Oh, this doesn't apply to us." It does apply to us. If we're on the platform of pure devotional service, then we'll just start at 10th canto. But if you're not on the platform of pure devotional service, then we start at 1st canto. Yes.
Oh, I'm talking about prasadam in this example. We also know that prasadam which doesn't taste good, which doesn't, you know, it's not well, it's in the mode of ignorance. I mean, the prasad is not, but the arrangement was.
I say. Just that. Cutting directly to the essential point.
The point, my doubt.
No, what I'm just saying.
Oh, right.
The cooks with Maya, right? Yeah.
So, from a transcendental point of view, I just need whatever comes from Krishna, that's prasada.
Yes. It's not that one doesn't have. See, in here, there is the personal that one prefers one thing or another. But the point is it's that aspect of Krishna, like the Brajavasis prefer Braja Krishna. Uh-huh. It's not that they have a problem with Krishna and Dwarka. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a problem. It's just that they prefer that interaction. When they went to, why did the Brajavasis go to, where was it? Kurukshetra. Uh-huh. Why did they go there? They were going to see Braja Krishna?
No,
they're going to see Dwarka Krishna. But they don't have a problem, because to them it's Krishna. But all it is that when he acts like this, he's Dwarka. When he acts in the other way, then he's Braja. It's not a different person. That's what Rupa Goswami is bringing out. Goloka, in this generic term, means that in all the realms, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, that it's the same person. It's not that he, you know, well, you know, in that incarnation I was in Braj. No, it's when I was in Braj. You understand? Or Krishna and Vrindavan is going to go to Mathura. The same person. Not, no, I'm staying here and I expand. And it's one person, it's just Krishna. So that's what makes Goloka. Now within that, Goloka is divided into Goloka and Gokul. So Gokul is Braj, and Goloka is considered Vaikuntha. That means Mathura and Dwarka. Does that make sense? But, so it's two different moods, mood in sweetness and in majesty, but it's still the same Krishna. That's why the example was given when Krishna expands the forms, then it showed Krishna with the wives, rather than Krishna with the gopis and the rasa dance. You can show either one, it's the same principle. Right? Same personality, you know, it's just expanded rather than different personality. Like Balaram's a different personality. Right? So that's why Krishna and Dwarka is not a different personality, a different mood. So that's it makes sense. Yes.
Is that why Shiva Goswami was originally going to write the Dattamadava and Dattamadava as one?
I could, yeah. No, it just makes it easier when you're separate. Because your focus is on one, focuses on one. Because they don't see the difference. They just prefer him in Braj, that's all. Yes.
I have heard that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time at Radha Kund indicated to some Babaji's who were doing Dandavat Parikram and said that we were different from them because they are worshipping Radharani because of her connection with Krishna, and we are worshipping Radharani despite her connection with that, so that boy Krishna. Is this related that,
I
would to that?
Put it the other way around. Means, oh, no, no, it means just how you worded it. That they're worshipping Radharani because of her connection with Krishna. We're worshipping Krishna because of his connection with Radharani.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So we don't say Radhe, Radhe, Sham... Radhe, Radhe, Shamala. It says Sham, Sham, Radhamila. It means that we're trying to get the service of Radharani. We're not trying to get the service of Krishna. Because you have the service of Radharani, you have the service of Krishna. Like that. Because the point is who, what Krishna... Krishna is unlimited. What Krishna? So if you want to worship Braja Krishna, then you have to be serving Radharani. So we see Krishna through Radharani.
Radha Krishna.
Yes. I mean, that's there is that rendering of service by, you know, when you're talking tattva, goes through. But we're talking about the flavor, the mood. It's because Radharani sees in that way, that's why there's Braja Krishna. Lakshmi doesn't see Braja Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that's the thing. It's the in the mood. So if you want to see Braja Krishna, you have to worship Radharani. You have to be a servant of Radharani. And so the closer you are to that mood, then the more you see what she sees. Right? So that's why we're not interested in. It's not enough that we're all in the same place. You know, it's very much who we're with. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. If we can get used to hair splitting here, we can get used to hair splitting there. You know, because we're thinking, oh, this is so dry. But the point is, it's the same technique will be used in like remember when we were getting to the end of. Jiva Dharma. It's getting to the same technical hairspray. We've gotten a little bit used to this, but I'm getting to that. Okay, so it just takes time. Yes.
Back to prasadam tattva.
Yeah.
If we choose and pick is prasadam, but because we like specific flavors.
It's all right. It means it doesn't matter as long as you see it connected to Krishna. The reason it's so nice is because it's Krishna.
This is mixed part.
No, no. The reason it's nice is because it's Krishna.
What's the problem seeing prasadam as Krishna in generic?
That's also not a problem.
Then when we... If
this tastes so good because it's a cauliflower subject, no. That's mixed. It tastes so good because it's been offered to Krishna. Of what's offered to Krishna, we may prefer one prep or another, just like Prabhupada, he was called Kachori Mukhi, because he liked kachori. In fact, he had, you know, there's no such thing as having one. You had to have two, one for each hand. You know, that, you know, it just doesn't, they don't come singular.
The pockets also.
Yeah, pockets also. That's the benefit pocket. Of the Indian vests, you know, pockets, you know. You have your kurta, that's two. You have your vest, that's another two. Plus hand, that's six.
A bucket.
I'm not sure where you put the chutney, but... You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's personal that you have preferences. That's fine. But you have to see ultimately connected to Krishna. In other words, if whatever you're dealing with goes all the way back, it's fine. It's where it doesn't go back. That's where the Maya is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So if everything in your house is connected to Krishna and you see it, all the activities are connected to Krishna, there's no mind. But if some are and some aren't, where there's not, that's where the mind is. That's why we are studying this to this degree, to be able to discern where that Maya is.
Yeah, you have the sudden thoughts also. The problem is not having preference, but the problem having problems with another thing.
Another, so that's why we don't get too much into rejecting things or being, that's why all these different, we're not so strong on it, because it's all Krishna. And so it's just, we prefer this, not that we don't like that, you know, that kind of aspect. We may not, but that's not, that shouldn't be the motive. You know, one has to be very careful about it. Like that. Otherwise, then we're rejecting Krishna. Because otherwise, sometimes they're like, oh, we don't want to do this, but it's a devotional activity. We want to be very careful about it. Yes?
So there is a great variety of putting the Shakti as supreme. And especially today.
Yeah, but Shakti is supreme, but then where does that come from? Shakti means the dead matter, that means dead matter gives rise to consciousness. So for the karmi that works, and for the jnani it works, because for the jnani there is no souls, there is no time, there is nothing. So therefore it has to come from material energy. So your mayavadis and your karmis, then they'll think like that.
Like some are more personal and some are more impersonal in that sense.
No, it's just a matter of some are just upfront and personal and some cover it with some personalism, temporary personalism. Because the temporary personalism works better than just straight up. Means, in other words, they'll talk the direct amongst sannyasis living in the monastery. But when they're talking to the public, they'll always talk about using forms as your method. Right? So they'll talk naishkarya, doing bhakti, that they can give a lecture very similar to ours. I've heard it. Like that. It's just, they know, because it's standard stuff, it's Gita. Yeah. Well, they talk all this nice, the nice karma and bhakti. Perform your activity with giving up the results. Do it for, you know, pleasing the Lord. They'll talk all that, but ultimately you are the Lord. You know, so that's the thing, is that they give all that. They inspire the people. That's why when we come and give the real thing, it sounds the same. So they think we're talking the same thing. But so it's only by association, by the kirtan, by taking prasad and all that, then they actually become devotees. Before they were technically, that's what the acharyas are talking about, is people look like devotees that are actually impersonates. So you do, we'll think of the hardcore mayavadis, but actually you're talking about a huge amount of your just Hindu population. So it's what is it, pratibimba? It's a reflection. It's not real. But the form is there, everything is there. That's why we come along and say, you know, we're doing kirtan, we're doing prasad, we're giving lecture. And yeah, great, come to my house. And they do all the things, and they're very enthusiastic. So that's because of the pratibimba aspect is of devotion. So it works nicely. So they have a chance. That's why they're counted. That's why they're even brought up. But if left on its own, they're not technically devotees. So, by preaching, then they become devotees. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that we look at all these things, and we look at, oh, they're doing these forms. Oh, the yoga guys are doing this, or they have pictures of Krishna, so they're all devotees. It's not necessarily. It just may be they like Krishna art better than some other stuff. Like people with two hands rather than so many hands. You know? Like that. So, that's all, but it doesn't mean that it means the same thing to them. But because they are working in that area, they'll be open to the real thing. So then it's that's why these distinctions are made. Is that? This falsehood is entertained by those jivas who, unwilling to face the Lord, hide in the shadow at his back. Those who come out of the shadow into the light of Vedic knowledge understand Brahmadev to be, in the matter of creation, the principal servant of the Supreme. Brahma does not hide the Lord's commanding role behind false claims of I and mine. Therefore, for genuine knowledge about the origin of the cosmos, there is no better source than Brahma among all jivas. Because he's authority. Therefore, the parampara thing. So they're talking about this. That's the topic wants to be there, but you can only get it by going through parampara. So the real essential point in the chapter is hearing from the parampara. Because then you can understand all these elements of the Lord. Otherwise, you can't know the Lord. He reveals himself. Right? Hearing these things, or not hearing these things, if you hear from the spiritual master, then one can, these things will be revealed.
But why there are four parampara and not only one?
Four. Just the, you know, for the different, because you have these different kind of flavors and all that. You know, the Vaishnav realm is, has variety. So therefore you have those kind of aspects. Wait, it's not good. It's just like you have food. Why have breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Confusing.
And then there's the afternoon snack. So,
so which parampara is the afternoon
snack? I see, you're interested in that line. Well, snacks are connected together, so that means like the Mangalarti offering, the one at the morning puja, so in other words, all those are sweets. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, those have salties and sweets.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, it's just that, in other words, it comes down so you have these lines so these different elements can be, just like there are those who want to go to Vaikuntha. Yeah. Right, so then if they're all in the same line, it becomes difficult. We're trying to distinguish between material world and Braj, and we're having enough trouble, let alone material world, Braj, Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Ayodhya, you know, Mathura, all the different rasas, parental rasa, friendship rasa, like this. Like in our line, even though we have, there are those in Sakya rasa, we don't hear about it much. The lines that come down there, this generic down to Lord Chaitanya. You know, but then after that, you know, Rupa's there, but after that, then others are prominent. And so the line is a different line. So we know they're there, but we're not worried. We have our line. Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam, the first nine cantos, it seems to be that all those who went back to Godhead went to Vaikuntha, they are liberated. And then starting from the tenth canto, then we go to something different. So, how is it that our line is geared towards Radha Krishna worship, but you see all the nine cantos, all of those are, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was listening to Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj stories. So, how is it connected to our process, these stories from these personalities who went back to Godhead, actually, not really the local Vrindavans?
Okay. Let's say I'm going to go to the temple. Okay, there's a group of devotees going to the temple. Okay? So, and they're all standing in the same place. So, is their path to the temple the same? Yes? No. Okay, we have, we'll make it simple here. Three devotees. Right? Not Buddha Twam. They were cats. Right? Okay. Three devotees. They are, let's say, at the, I don't even know what the names of these buildings are, but whatever it is, the Ishodhyan, okay? And they're going to the temple. Okay? So they all go together to the temple. Now once they get to the gate of the temple, one of them walks over to the Panchatattva, one over to Radha Madhava, and one over to the Shringadeva. That make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point is to get into Braj, you have to get out of here. So the process to get out of here is the same. Because the Braj process is you just hear about Krishna once and you want to go there. And if you don't, then you follow the Pancharatrik process, which is the first nine cantos. Does that make sense? Yeah. Brahma now glorifies Lord Vasudev. Vasudev is the first of four forms, Chaturvyuha of Mahanarayana, who is Krishna as the Lord of Vaikuntha, whose divine energy expands as the primary elements of creation. Initially, these ingredients lay inert with him upon the Mahatattva in a state of disassembly. Right? So here, then there's two, here we have to be used to there's two ways Mahatattva is used, at least in this creation. There's Mahatattva, meaning the place where Karanadakshaya Vishnu lays down. That's the Mahatattva. Then when he expands the universe, it enters into them, or when he glances at Pradhan and that separates, that's Mahatattva. Right? So the principle is the same in all, because he just has to glance once and this happens in all of them. So therefore that levels the Mahatattva. We generally study it within the universe because we're looking at how the elements broke down. But the principle is Mahatattva means Mahavishnu. But then how it breaks down and how that's all put together, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. How that's managed, that's Kirodakshaya Vishnu. So in other words, what you're dealing with is Paramatma. Right? Karanadakshaya is Paramatma of the material cosmos. Right? The Garbhodakshaya is the supersoul of the particular universe. Kirodakshaya is the supersoul of the individual living entities. Principle is the same.
So Maharaj, you mentioned once that in order to have the material creation, the jiva must have a desire to enjoy. So first, that enjoying mood is injected so that the jiva can actually accept it, and then there's a reason for the material world.
Well, it's the false ego goes. He already has that enjoying spirit. Okay. Then the false ego goes with time. Right? Because you have to have time. Because otherwise there's no movement. But because of the false, then you're dealing with material time. Because time is eternal. Right? In other words, there's always the concept of something earlier and something later and something now. Otherwise, why would Sanskrit reflect that? Right, because it's a language from the spiritual world, but it has past, present, future. In fact, it has. We just deal with three, but actually, I think Sanskrit has 10 in these categories. It has breakdowns of these three into 10. English doesn't even work with it. It's just past, present, future. It doesn't get into it. In fact, they start to freak when you start to get into it. Continuous future. You know, all these kind of things. That's like you know, how you
past
say,
imperfect, past perfect.
Yeah, all these different things. But that's just standard stuff in the Sanskrit. It's very easy. From Sanskrit, it's easy to understand. From English, it's like impossible. Like that. Yes?
It says that Vasudev is the first of four forms, the Chaturvyuha.
Yes.
Then it says that first Purusha is Mahavishnu. Then it says Sankarshan of the Chaturvyuha. Who's the first? Who's the second?
Just think of who's that? Groucho or something? Who's on first?
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been a bewilderment for a long time. In the sense of, I think he put that together where in the 40s or 50s, and it's been. Okay. The first Purusha, Mahatma, because he's coming from. See, you have two. Both are correct, because Vasudev being manifesting all the six of the Kalyana Gunas, then actually Sankarshan comes from him. Does that make sense? And then from Sankarshan Prajumna, from Prajumna Aniruddha. So that's the standard way we view it. But at the same time, is if you're looking at it from the mechanics of pastime, then the pastime takes place in a situation. Therefore, when the situation is there, then you have vasa. Therefore, there in that situation, there's desire. That desire, there's goals. So those be. So then, having put the six into place, then vasa, then using those six, then performs pastimes. And that way, then you say sankarshan's first. So both are correct.
Come on, as you mentioned six.
Six. I shouldn't have mentioned six.
You should have. Four, right? Six is trying to look for the other two.
Means you have Bala and Bala and Jnana and Bala for Sankarshan, Virya and Aishwarya for Prajumna, and Shakti and Tejas like that. And then I have to find it. There was that purport where the I think it's Vishwanath put them together with the six opulences of Bhagavan. You can see the connection. Because form is that beauty, like that, that goes with Prajumna. So if there's not desire, then the other thing. So in that way, then you Prajumna's first. Because when there's desire, then there's activity. But then desire based on the place. But if you don't want to please Krishna, you're in love, then you know there's no meaning, so that means Aniruddha. Mahavishnu. He's Sankarshan.
It's all clear now.
That's why I said that each one of them has all the qualities. But the point is for Vishesha or specialness, then it's brought out that they the prominence of just those particular two. But each one has all six. You know? It's just that means if you're already tasting all six in one place, why do you need to taste it again? Yes. So therefore, to enhance the taste of the six, then you come and deal with the two. Just like, does that make sense? You know, it's like you sit down to eat the meal, so you want it served nicely, so you know how to serve, so you served yourself. So if you could expand, you'd serve yourself, you know, and then you would have cooked it, of course, also, and because you know how to get the good ingredients, you would have gone to the market, you would have done all the different things, the whole thing, you know. So someone comes to the temple and it's just one guy. Yes. Didn't I just meet you? It says that. But he was the head pujari. He says, no, but I'm the president. And who are you? I'm the pot washer. You know, so you could run your own temple. Right? Like that. Hundreds of devotees. Okay. Okay. Initially, these ingredients lay inert with him upon the Mahatattva in a state of disassembly. The first Purusha, Mahavishnu, Sankarshan, of the Chaturvyuha. Sends forth Kala, the time factor. Time among the creative elements, ingredients that emanate from the Lord, is the foremost representative of the Lord. 22 purport. Quote, as such, Kala may be taken as the first cause of all creation. Because it's if you have everything together and you want to separate it, there has to be action to separate it. So that means you require time. Time is action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? So as soon as you put time, they separate. Time. Oh, okay. Agitated by time, the ingredients of the Mahatattva interact to produce further creations as supervised by the personality of Godhead. Acknowledging his authority over creation as supreme, Brahma offers his obeisances to Lord Narayana as Jagat Guru. By his purposeful involvement in creation, he manifests his mercy in various auspicious ways so that inquisitive jivas can come to know him. Right? So purposeful involvement. Right? He's there for a reason. That's so that the jivas can come to know him. And that comes by his mercy. Because you can't get it otherwise. And how do you get his mercy? By approaching the parampara. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when Krishna says, time I am,
he refers to eternal time, not past, present, or future.
Means you have the manifestation of time here where past, present, and future separates yourself from things. Because in the material world, the material energy has a beginning, a middle, and end. Yeah. You know, means the atoms coming together into a particular manifestation and them going apart. Yeah. There's that. So therefore, here beginning, middle, and end are different. But in the spiritual world, they're not. Because they're all eternal. Krishna is always eternal, so that aspect is there. So the minimum you're dealing with is the Brahman. But that's so, from here you can appreciate, if you work on that Brahman platform, then you understand what I'm dealing with and what I'm getting. That aspect is eternal, because I'm connecting to the eternal plane. But as I connect it to what's going on in the physical form, then that has a temporary aspect. Yeah. I do something, it has a beginning, middle, and end. So my experience connected with it will end. So that's what we call this material time. But it's still the same time, it's just that we're viewing it through the material, so we get that effect. But if we view it by eternal time, then we notice what I'm getting is connected with the eternal. So it's not dependent upon that, but it's a medium for it. Just like Krishna is not dependent upon his energies. He's independent. But you know him through his energies. Yeah. So in the same way as I'm knowing the Lord through this activity on the material platform. I mean on the material manifestation, or let's say the material phenomena. I'm knowing him through that. But it's not this temporary thing I'm dealing with that is him. Right, it's the medium to know him, because he's known through his energies. So if I understand the eternal element of his energy, I'm dealing with the eternal Lord and eternal time. So I'm not disturbed when the activity morphs into something else. Right? Because Krishna's always there. Either remembering him in the so-called past, which is still present, or just moving on to the next activity. So that's what's being afforded, is to function on that platform. So that's what's being brought out. Then, through the other cantos, we'll see various ways devotees have come to that platform. Having being on that platform, then one can be trained to function within the spiritual culture. Because Baba is on the platform of spirit. But we have to be situated there, not sometimes situated there. Because here we're talking about Brahman means sometimes we're situated there. We're talking about one's always situated there. Or at least predominantly enough that you call it Baba. Then one can be trained in how to enter into the pastimes. Because being there doesn't mean you've entered the pastimes. You know, it's just like Aristasura technically hasn't entered the pastimes. The pastimes between Krishna and his devotees and protecting the devotees, and Aristasura happens to be a medium for doing that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is then we can enter the pastimes. So that's why the first nine cantos, they get you to that point.
That's the difference when you are there and all Krishna actually sees you and is interacting with you. Like when
yes,
you
because the point is if he sees you, you shouldn't ignore it. So therefore, he'll see you when you won't ignore it. And who's the judge of that? The devotees. Yes. Yes, means when he glances, then all the elements separate. Like that. Because when time enters, it becomes agitated and separates. So it's being said that, let's say we're taking Vaisheshika, that because the living entity Oh no, that's Shankya. Shankya. That the living entity wants to know who he is. And because of that, then it separates into the Pradhan separates, and then there's the Jiva. But then when you understand everything, then it goes back. But it's because the living entity sees like that, then the Lord glances and you get the separation. So time is actually the cause, not the Jiva. You know, we're trying to take credit for the whole material phenomena, but it doesn't exactly work like that. It sounds great, but...
But at the same time, it's the desire of the Jiva which makes the material.
Yes, that's why Gita says we maintain it, but we maintain it just like... It's just like... Who maintains the crib? Oh, that's not a good one. Okay. Its meaning has expanded. Okay. Who maintains the baby carriage?
Mother.
If there's a baby, is there a baby carriage?
No.
Let's try this again. Okay, let us try.
If there is not a baby, you say.
No, if there is a baby, is there a baby carriage?
Yes.
So as long as there's a baby, there's a baby carriage.
Yes.
So therefore, who's maintaining the baby carriage?
The baby.
Right? As soon as the baby grows up, there's no baby carriage. It goes in the closet. Right? Does that make sense? Next baby, carriage comes out again. Right? So it's the baby. So that's what we're saying. But the control of it, the running of it, that's done by the mother. So Krishna and his energies control it, but the reason that it's there is because of us. Hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Homeboy maintains the crib.
Yeah, homeboy maintains the crib.
But without homies.
Yes, now the homeboy is specific. Then there's homies. That's the American personal concept. But then you have to have the area itself. Yeah,
yes.
I'm not going to get into this. Okay. Okay, by his mercy in various auspicious ways. That means by his pastimes, by the devotees, by the scriptures, you know, by the Hari Nam, by, you know, Prashad, all these different ways. So that inquisitive jivas can come to know him, right? Because you have to want to know. You first have to want to know why. As soon as you say why, Krishna will put you in contact with the devotees. You don't ask why, it doesn't happen. The Vedas, the demigods, the different planets, sacrifice, meditation, austerity, transcendental knowledge, and ultimate salvation are given by him only for the revival of God consciousness. That's the whole. So we'll end here. Then continue in the evening. We had Brahma Samhita. Anybody knows?
We don't even have the man.
He was.
So Rick Shimshai said that we had Brahma
Samhita. Evening, okay. He's just finishing all the stuff. Okay, so we should have Brahma Samhita in the evening. If not, bring this with you just in case.
What time are you?
3:30. Back to the 3:30 then. But we'll do 3:30 to 5:10. Like that. Yeah, because I figured out the 10 minutes is 40 minutes a week. You know, yeah. So it ends up quite a bit, you know, almost 3 hours in a month. You know, so
yeah.
Before I didn't think, that's 10 minutes.
Krishna is the principal.
Yeah. Original cause.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai.
Jainatai Gaurav.